Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The deadline is looming in Pennsylvania with the first date, January 24th, coming up. Tick-tock. Very soon, I'm talking about redistricting and this map. The map, we keep hearing about it. Why is it such a big deal for all of Pennsylvania, for us, right? Well, let's welcome in Dave Reed, former majority leader of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, as well as spokesperson for Represent Us. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Don. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So a lot of people, you know, hear about this and they say, oh, this is the insider stuff in Harrisburg and this is so boring. And what are they fighting over, this map? Can you break it down for us, Dave, where we're at and why this is so critical?
Absolutely. I mean, we're at the point right now where realistically, for maps to take effect for the 2022 election, they've really got to be complete here within the next couple of weeks to be able to set into motion the timeline for candidates to file petitions, get on a ballot for the May primary, and then face off in the general election. And really what we're seeing is a once-in-a-decade opportunity or challenge, depending on your perspective, of redrawing the congressional districts of who's going to represent our state in Washington, D.C. And it's even more challenging this year because of the population distribution across the country. Pennsylvania is slated to lose one congressional seat, so we'll go from 18 to 17. Mm-hmm. So in that process, you've got to not only redraw the districts from the perspective of evening out the population within each district, but you've also got to account for one district moving to another state. So in essence, what you're going to have is a set of congressmen and congresswomen out there who are going to play a game of musical chairs. And at the end of the day, instead of 18 chairs, there's going to be 17. So it becomes a bit of a high stakes game because that congressional representation, and this process is playing out all across the country, mm-hmm. will determine the makeup of what Congress is going to look like in 2022 and beyond. And, you know, oftentimes, depending on how those districts are drawn, will lead to what type of representation we're going to have in Washington, D.C., and what type of battles we're going to see at the federal level for years to come.
And so for you, you know this on a personal level, right, as an elected official. Can you share what happened with you on a personal level? You know what the map means, right?
I absolutely do, probably more than maybe anybody else out there in the country. I spent a number of years in the Pennsylvania State House, and my last 4 years I was the House Majority Leader. And entering into my last year, the congressman in my community, Congressman Bill Schuster at the time, had announced his retirement right after New Year's in 2018. So after, you know, some thought and discussion with my wife and my kids and everybody around me, decided, you know, it was time to move on to a different challenge. So a couple weeks later, announced that I was going to be a candidate in the 9th Congressional District here in Indiana County. Mm-hmm. And then just about literally 2 weeks later, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued a ruling on a court case originally filed, I believe, back in 2011. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, you know, 7 years in between for that process to play out. And at the end of the day, I no longer lived in a district. The Supreme Court redrew the districts. So you had 7 justices redrew the districts. Ultimately, it was appealed to the United States Supreme Court, and Justice Alito decided not to hear that appeal. So the state Supreme Court's district stayed in place. I didn't live in the district anymore. And ultimately, we made the decision time to move into the private sector. So, you know, as I joke about today, you know, one of two things was going to happen during that process. Either, you know, God willing, I was going to become a United States congressman, or one day I would be able to tell my grandkids that their grandpa you know, didn't become a congressman because of the Supreme Court. So that's actually probably the cooler story to tell, and it saved me from going to Washington, D.C., too.
Yes. And so currently, you know, you're serving as the Pennsylvania spokesperson, right, for the for Represent Us. I know it's a nonpartisan. Can you explain to us what you're doing and why this advocacy, what it means to you to be part of this and speak out, Dave?
Yeah, I can. And, you know, my full-time job, I'm actually a state president for a $10 billion bank headquartered in Indiana County. I am just joining up with Represent Us to get the word out about the redistricting process, the high-stakes game that's being played out right now, mm-hmm. and why it matters. And really the important part is for folks to understand, you know, in today's day and age, there's so much more information available than any other time in history. You know, you can literally go online and you can draw your own map with the technology out there. You can submit those maps. You can be part of that process to influence the House and the Senate and the governor and, you know, potentially the state Supreme Court if it ends up getting to them. And I think the big thing for folks to understand is, you know, we are so close to the deadline right now. Mm-hmm. You really need the House and the Senate in Pennsylvania, Republicans and Democrats, and a governor who's willing to engage in that discussion to come together and put together a map that makes sense for both sides. And we do have that unique opportunity because you've got Republican control of the House and the Senate. You've got a Democratic governor. So you that by itself forces some sort of compromise and understanding in that process if they allow it to play out that way. If not, if they miss the deadline, then it'll be punted once again to the state Supreme Court. You'll have seven justices who will draw the maps on their own once again. I'm not sure that's the best outcome for democracy, but mm-hmm. if it does get to that level, you know, we would just encourage the courts to have an open process as well, to actually hear public input, allow people to submit maps from all around the state, and actually deliberate in a public fashion how they determine what those lines will be.
Yeah, so what's your prediction? Can I ask you for the, like, the over-under on what? Because it seems like nobody really wants it to go ultimately to the court, especially the Republicans who have the edge here.
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, Republicans certainly don't want it to go to the court because the court, by nature of the 2015 election, mm-hmm. is heavily slanted towards the Democratic Party. I think you probably have a lot of Democrats in Harrisburg and within the governor's office who will, you know, kind of go through the steps of the process, but probably slow play it a little bit, knowing mm-hmm. that they've got the backstop of a Democratic Supreme Court to draw the
right
map. And ultimately, look, it's a high stakes game. And certainly, you know, the shoe's been on the other foot over the years as well, where Republicans dominated that process when they had total control of state government. You know, I just think we're now getting to the point in America where with the access to the information, with the technology, this stuff doesn't have to be done behind closed doors anymore. It can be done in a much more public format. It can be done with the legislature and the governor working together. And ultimately, you know, the goal is fair representation within these districts, not to gerrymander the districts so that they look like odd, like lizards, or that you stack them so much where, you know, only one party or only one faction of one party could ever win those particular districts.
Yes.
Because, you know, oftentimes we all complain about the frustrations with our government in D.C. You know, the determination of these districts is going to determine what that representation looks like. If we have fair and balanced districts, chances are you're going to have more fair and balanced representation. If you have districts that only placate extremes within one party or the other, that's what you're going to see play out at the national level. So we're really determining what the political discourse is going to be like for the next decade in America.
Yeah, and we're here with Dave Reed, by the way, who we've introduced, former majority leader of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. And, you know, as somebody who, you know, you've really walked in the shoes of both the lawmakers, Dave, but also now in being in banking in the private sector, where a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's such a relief to get out of the whole divisiveness that we're in. There used to be a time when at least people could be respectful, whether they're citizens or whether they're elected officials. Right now, how much does the contentious, you know, the divisiveness that we're seeing played out, especially in the media, play into this situation with regard to Democrats and Republicans and Governor Wolf? How ugly is it? And how much do you think that'll impact what happens here?
You know, when I first started in state government, you know, you would have the debates on the House floor, Republican, Democrat, House and the Senate. But as soon as the debates were done, you know, Republicans and Democrats, you know, we had dinner together. We talked. We were friends. You know, you hung out together because you were away from your families mm-hmm. and, you know, you were stuck in the Capitol for a couple of days. By the time I left in 2018, the sad reality was, you know, there were Democrats who couldn't speak to other Democrats, Republicans who couldn't speak to other Republicans. It had become so fractured, it made responsible government almost impossible. And, you know, this is an opportunity to bring that back together mm-hmm. a little bit. You know, it does take leadership. You know, the governor is going to have to step up and, you know, bring the sides together within the House and the Senate. You know, by just the nature of those two bodies, they're going to be, you know, a little bit challenging to work with. That's how they're made up. That's how, you know, our country was founded. But the chief executive has some responsibility to step in, you know, to try to bring the two sides to the conclusion. And I think this process is probably a perfect example of a legacy that both the governor and the legislature can leave the constituents across the Commonwealth. Because, I mean, it's really going to play out for the next decade. It's not going to be an immediate gratification type of policy implementation. It's going to be, you know, what our government's going to look like. Are we looking for a more civil time in our state and in America? Or are we looking to send people, you know, further into the extremes of the political spectrum?
Yes. And so how can people get involved? Because you said that, you know, the public needs to get involved. So how do they get involved, Dave?
You know, I think right now the big thing is contact your state House member, contact mm-hmm. your state senator, contact the governor's office, and just respectively encourage them. Get to the table, do so in a public format, and try to work this thing out in a timely fashion and not just punt it to seven Supreme Court justices to be able to draw those maps. And look, that's the backdrop that exists within our state government. It shouldn't be our first option. You know, the nature of accountability in our government, if people don't like those maps that the legislature votes on, they can get rid of their state rep or their state senator, you know, next year. You know, so that accountability factor is so critical to this process. So I would just encourage people, contact your elected officials. It's not too late for them to get this map through the legislative process.
Well, Dave Reed, we surely appreciate your work, and you're trying to, you know, be a sane voice in the midst of all the insanity that's happening. And obviously the media is an incendiary in all of this, an incendiary device, as it were. But we just appreciate your work. And obviously you have a pretty big day job. So the fact that you're working with a nonprofit that's nonpartisan, trying to do the right thing, we just really appreciate you, Dave. Thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this today with you, Don.
Thank you. And thanks for breaking it down for us, too. Dave Reed, thank you so much. So we are going to be right back. We have much more. I do want to update you that I did see a few snowflakes. National Weather Service had downgraded the winter getting. It was supposed to be a nasty morning commute. Let me know, you know, if you have maybe some, you want to poke some fun at our meteorologists, but it's downgraded to an inch or less, depending on where you are. So it's winding down at this time for Philadelphia suburbs, in other words, north and west of the city. However, if you're South Jersey, for example, let's say you're at the Jersey Shore, you're going to see the snowfall until about 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then tomorrow, frigid forecast, the high tomorrow, just 27 degrees. This is The Dawn Show. We have a developing story coming right up.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.